B-Pod Studios.
This. Have you seen his Instagram?
They need
this Felger and Mass.
They don't use crack enough.
On 98.5.
Yeah, not really.
The Sports Hub.
Morris, inbound, safely to Gordon Hayward. Hayward, half court, 6 seconds to go. Hayward, left-hand dribble drive, gets near the cup, hangs in the air. Touch shot is good. 2 seconds to go. Buddy Hield fields it, but before he can, Dave Yeager calls the timeout.
Wow.
Bealitza will trigger the inbound. All eyes on Buddy Hield. 4 seconds on the count. It's in to Barnes. Deep three. No good, and the Celtics win the ball game.
Wow.
You want to talk about a character-building exercise over the last 27 hours for this basketball team. After everything they have been through, they lay waste to the defending world champion Golden State Warriors in Oakland. And tonight, on the second night of a back-to-back, they outlast the playoff hopeful Sacramento Kings. And Gordon Hayward is right in the middle of everything on both nights. The final score, Boston 111, Sacramento 109.
All right, Celtic thoughts. You guys were dubious yesterday. Now they just put him back to back. Gordon Hayward just put him back to back. You gonna give him a little bit of something today?
Yeah. it's good. It's good that they won, and it was another nice night for Gordon Hayward, and it was an important win considering Philadelphia lost earlier in the night. But I saw things that still didn't leave me all that impressed. There's still red flags I see from this team that I've seen this whole season.
Like what?
Of Marcus Morris, the way he's played again over the last couple of months. He's just a black hole. Anytime that the ball goes to him, he's going to chuck. He's got the confidence of Marcus Smart. How many missed threes did he have last night as he continues that terrible trend? And Jason Tatum, I don't know, enough with the unbecoming yelling at the refs and whining at the refs when you don't get calls. He had an okay night, but missed like 5 or 6 easy layups. And again, just the whining at the refs, I don't like that. And I just, I knew they were going to get a challenge. And it's not just about the friskiness of that Sacramento team. It's fighting for a playoff spot and has some pretty damn good players. And I think the coach might actually be pretty decent, too, in Dave Yeager. But I don't know. It was good. Good. But let's string it together. I still need to see more. Hayward's the most encouraging thing. But I've taken the cheese on that before with the two games that they won heading into the All-Star game where he looked like he was old Gordon Hayward. So, good. I still need to see more.
I'm still waiting for the era of good feeling to pop. No, and
the era is 2 days old, you know.
Okay, so when I say that, I mean, to me, there's a hint of it in last night's game.
Okay, let's see it.
Okay, so this was late in the game, a minute 45 to go. The Celtics were up 2. De'Aaron Fox had the ball out top. Marcus Smart is guarding him. They ran a double screen, and Marcus Smart was switching. Jaylen Brown did not. De'Aaron Fox went straight to the hoop, dunked it, tie game. Marcus Smart instinctively spun around, threw his arms out, looked at Jaylen Brown and started yelling at him. What are you doing? And then he caught himself and went up to him, stuck his hand out, gave him kind of a high five. They walked to the bench together and they talked it out a little bit, and then they went forward from there. But my point is this. His instinct on the play was to yell at Jaylen Brown. Okay, his instinct on the play was to yell at Jaylen Brown. And then,
can I interject?
Yeah.
Which is getting annoying because who the hell is Marcus Smart? He almost threw away the game late. Up a point, 30 seconds left, he gave the ball away.
Absolutely, and Morris recovered.
Marcus Morris dove on the floor, got the ball, and saved his ass. But it's not like, Marcus Smart, good Lord, dude. You're not good enough to constantly be getting up that kid's backside. And he probably screwed up the rotation on that defensive play.
No, I have no doubt that he did. But again, this is...
Who are you?
Well, right. And so this is the
problem. You almost kicked the game away.
So this is the problem that they have, though, is that when someone makes a mistake, other guys aren't tolerant of it, particularly if it is Brown. But honestly, it doesn't matter to me if it were Marcus Morris and Gordon Hayward. Whoever the players were involved, he blew a gasket and started yelling at him. And this is the type of thing, now the fact that it's an older guy and a younger guy accentuates the problems they've had this year. He was quick to jump on him. And so I get it. It's the NBA. It's the big boys. But given the problems they've had on their team this year, if they were a healthy, functional team, I wouldn't bat my eye over this. But given the problems that they've had, Smart knew it too because, again, he stopped himself. So the good news is that he stopped himself and caught himself and, okay, we're trying to get better at this. But it's still there, is the point. It's still there. His instinct was to lash out. And so, you know, what's going to happen if that happens in a playoff game? Like, I just feel like you don't get rid of all that ill will on a six-hour flight.
Okay, how's Kyrie doing?
You got me.
I don't know. Who knows? Was he really hurt last night? I mean, was he in San Francisco earlier having dinner with Kevin Durant?
Like, he was on the bench.
Yeah, no, I know.
He was on the bench. He was with the team in Sacramento.
Nice of him to show up.
But this is sort of weird, and I heard this clip on the Midday Show, so we'll replay it for you. Brad Stevens postgame is asked about Kyrie Irving and his status. Because this is now postgame. So it is a full 24 hours after the end of the Warriors game. 24 hours. To talk to the player or the trainers after the game, the next morning, pregame, after the game, 24 hours later, and they're all together the entire time. Because they did they bust to Sacramento? How'd they get there? Whatever.
They went bust. Yeah.
They went right from the Warriors to the Sacramento, and then they've been together the entire time. The whole traveling party. Okay? And Brad Stevens is asked about Kyrie Irving and this thigh bruise or whatever it is after the game.
What is the outlook for Kyrie just as you move into the next couple of days?
I don't know. I haven't talked to him about it. I haven't talked to the trainers about it.
Seems like a day-to-day type of thing now.
Okay.
What's his out? I don't know. I don't know. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, a little bit.
And then they follow up. Is that a day-to-day thing? And he goes, yeah. But that was, I don't know, tepid? Certainly oddly vague, where a day later, you can't just say, yeah, he checked with the trainers. He's fine. It's a maintenance thing. He's day-to-day. Hopefully we see him in Los Angeles. Just the flat, I don't know. He hasn't spoken to him?
I know. So I wonder if he, for some reason, he didn't have the heart to, like, lie and just say, you know what, guys, there's nothing wrong with him. We shut him down tonight. We didn't want him to play. I don't know. The only other thing I wonder about, and this might sound stupid to you, that's a question that could have been asked pregame and probably was. And so now after the game, if Stevens is being asked it again, would that irritate him?
He didn't sound like he gets – I don't know. I wouldn't –
And I only say that...
Maybe.
Well, I only say that out of experience because I used to get yelled at for asking stuff after the game that was asked before the game because I wasn't there.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. I have no idea. But to me, it's a little weird. Yeah, it's weird. It doesn't sound right. Like, why wouldn't you just say, guys, look, you know, he's okay. We just thought the safer thing to do is to keep him out tonight. I don't know.
It was just a weird sort of answer. That was just a weird. Let's hear it one more time, Jimmy.
What is the outlook for Kyrie just as you move in the next couple of days?
I don't know. I haven't talked to him about it. I haven't talked to the trainers about it.
Seems like a day-to-day type of thing now.
Okay.
What's the outlook for the next couple? I don't know. I haven't spoken to him. I haven't spoken to the trainers. It's just, I don't know. That just, given the all the crap that's going on with the team this year, my antenna is up a little bit too much, but that is an odd exchange.
I mean, even the tone of the yeah. is like, yeah, like just get away from me. I don't know. Again,
could just be as simple as you said. It's like it was a maintenance night. He doesn't want to lie for him or anything like that. So it's just, you know, give a vague answer.
Maybe. I don't know.
I have no idea. I have no idea. So you went back and you saw the play that you think he got hurt on. We can't show it on the simulcast because it was a TNT game. But
Yeah, it was at the beginning of the third quarter, and he was basically, I can't remember if he had just gotten the ball from Horford or was trying to get the ball or whatever, and he changed direction and his left leg all kind of buckled.
Well, he's coming around the top of a screen, and what happens is his right leg slips. So maybe they hadn't wiped down the floor or something, but there was a slick spot on the floor, and it's sort of like Zion Williams a little bit. His right foot slides across the floor.
He almost did a split.
And his left knee buckles. So I don't know how you get a thigh bruise out of that. That's a twisted knee. And obviously it wasn't bad because it was early in the third and he finished the third and he finished the game. So I'm not telling you it's bad. I'm just saying I don't know how you get a bruise out of that.
Nor do I. And again, I wondered whether or not they were telling the truth. Like maybe it's a knee and they're saying it's a bruise. Now, you know, they'll tell you that, and I sniffed around a little bit this morning, and they claim that there was a collision later, and it wasn't that. But I don't know. To me, that stuck out watching the game. When I went back and watched the second half of the Golden State game, because I only watched the first half live, when I went back and looked at it, it caught my attention right away, and I went, oh, gosh, like, and he's limping. And so now he played the rest of the third quarter, but it was less than a minute into the second half. So it stuck out to me, and but, you know, they're playing what? They're playing in two nights here, so I'm presuming he will be back on the floor for the Laker game.
Well, for Bron, that's because...
That's a given.
Well, there's a contemporary there.
Sure. Yeah.
So he wants to play that
8:30,
one.
8:30, ABC, it's the Lakers, it's LeBron. Of course Kyrie needed a game off before he faces LeBron and the Lakers. Of course he did, because that's what he does now.
Yeah, look, it could be that simple, too. Like, I don't have, see, I don't have a problem with them giving him a night off. Like, we're going to have you sit out the second half of a back-to-back, and I know the league has cracked down on this sort of thing. They've been doing it all year.
Yeah, no, no. I don't mind if it comes from the team. I feel like it's come from him.
Okay, so if it's coming from him, that's something different. I mean, that, and again, I know
wasn't there a pregame comment? Didn't you put this in our email that pregame, Steven said he got a call from him in the middle of the day saying the thigh has acted up?
I think Jimmy put it in there, and so it did suggest that it was Kyrie's call, not Steven's call, or not the team's call.
Either or, I have an issue with it. You're trying to improve your seeding right now. You need him out there. He gives you a better chance to win. Granted, they've looked good without him at times, obviously, but still, you need him.
So what you're hearing there from Steven, maybe he's just a little bit annoyed.
Maybe.
At the caller back? That the
No, Jim. They don't care about seeding anymore. They're good. They just want to make the playoffs. And then Kyrie's going to take over and take them to the finals and a championship.
Feels like Jimmy's gotten a little sour with the green.
Yeah, someone's getting moved up to the 300s.
Someone's getting moved out, period.
Okay, we got a lot on the board. The Kraft stuff, Patriot stuff. The Kyler Murray measurement thing to me is just fascinating. It obviously fascinates you. There are scouts out there who believe that Kyler Murray inflated his height at the combine, which that blows me away. I don't even know how you would do that, but you've told me how, I guess. I don't know. But how would you do that when you're naked in front of a room full of scouts? How do you inflate your height in bare feet, in underwear, in front of a room full of team personnel? I don't get how you could possibly inflate your height, but there's scouts out there who believe that with Kyler Murray. We've got Bruin stuff if you want, and Mr. Happy, Mr. Me himself, Kyrie Irving and the Celtics. Your calls on all of it after this.
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It's Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Mazz.
It starts with me. It starts with my energy and where I go out there and the way I play.
I'm in mine.
It's my job, my attitude, and with my effort.
It's about me doing this and me doing this.
I'm in mine. You know, me, you know, being who I'm supposed to be. So that's where I'm great. That's where I love to play.
My attitude and me and my and me, me, my.
It starts with me.
My energy and where I go out there and the way I play.
With the me, me, my.
My attitude and with my effort.
My.
That's where I'm great.
You know, we all talked about us and we getting together and playing on a string and the connected effort, and it starts with me. He can't help himself.
It starts with me.
All right, thanks to Hardy for putting that together last night for the final word. All those me's, my's, and I's were just from 5 minutes of post-game chatter from Kyrie. All right. So you got LeBron. You got mini LeBron, mini me, little Penny. You got LeBron Jr. here. And he sits out last night's game. We'll see what he's got this weekend in Los Angeles. But the team does feel like they've had a little bit of a turning point. The name does not show up. It's Bruins in Boston. Is that your name? Bruins in Boston?
This is the Boston Bully, and I'm here to tell you the Celtics' tides are turning. You're going to have Gordon Hayward centering the run. Tatum on the right wing here. He's going to be...
Okay, I'm just going to stop. What is it today? We got a bunch of those.
Oh, yeah. No. You got me. I don't know. That guy who called earlier always calls.
How about the prominent role of Gordon Hayward?
So, look, it's significant. I mean, now he committed a big foul before he made the shot last night.
I want to get to that in a minute.
Okay. But overall, I tell you that it's important that clearly that they get Hayward going. Making that shot last night was a big thing for him mentally. More than anything, it feels like he is becoming a more integral part of the team. I still don't think he's right. I still don't think he's all the way back. You know, the other night, the shots went in again.
But what if one of the things they determined on the flight out is that we're not going to bury Hayward. In fact, we're going to give him more of a chance to be who he is, and we're going to push him to be more of who he is, and this is part of this adjustment. This has become more of Hayward's team.
Sure, good.
Yeah, it's been encouraging the last couple of nights.
No, but do you think that's what it was decided? Maybe. It was decided from on high that this is no fluke. That they're putting him in this spot. He's come off the bench early, it feels like. He came off early in Golden State. I don't log when he usually comes into the game. It just felt like, I don't know, he was in early and shooting early and assertive early. And, last night he was a key part of that thing last night. And what if it's by design? What if that's one of the things they decided?
Good, because I think that, look, if you're telling me that they're making a more conscious effort to run the game through him and that, that the team will benefit from it, I generally believe that can happen. I mean, he's a good decision maker. He sees the floor well. His game instincts are excellent. He's not the quickest guy in the world still. I mean, I saw a comment from him in the last day or so where he says, boy, am I really that slow? And the answer is yes. He's still not exactly blowing by people, and it doesn't look to me like he's got the greatest lift in the world.
Okay, how in the world does Kyler Murray fake his height? How does that happen? Chris in Vermont.
Hey, I have firsthand experience with growing an inch.
Explain.
Yoga. I don't know.
Okay, I'm just going to let you go. He's taking too long. Yoga. Yoga do it?
I've done it for 10-plus years, and I'm the same size.
Can 2 months of yoga do it? Because don't tell me Kyler Murray's been yoga-ing. He was apparently, according to Pro Football Talk, under 5'10 at Oklahoma, but measured 5'10 and an eighth at the Combine. And there are scouts who believe that his height was inflated, which I find impossible. So he did yoga from when? January to now, and that helped him grow a quarter inch? Is that possible?
See, look, I told you, I think that there's something to this. Now, I can't give you the math, particularly for a 21-year-old who, was in a peak physical condition to begin with. But, and I even Googled it to verify, because I told you, I thought I had read it somewhere, where if you are to decompress your spine, stretch it out, and yoga would be one way to, stretch yourself out a little bit, that your body will extend to its full length, because most of the time you're walking around at something less than your real height.
Lauren in New Bedford, what do you think?
Hi, so I'm a physical therapist, and they actually have a mechanical traction machine where you attach weights to one end of your body to lengthen your spine, like when you have disc issues and stuff. So it elongates and creates more space in your spine. So that can make you taller temporarily.
Okay, right. How taller? If someone's 5'9 and 7/8, can he get to 5'10 and an eighth just by doing your contraption?
I don't really know, but I guess.
Okay, so I mean, that's the point. Is this what this guy was doing? Was he hanging upside down like a bat with some sort of contraption to grow to be over 5'10 for the combine?
I mean, yeah. I don't.
Maybe. It could be. It could be like the old William Wallace at the end of Braveheart where they stretch him out.
Yes.
Rope him up and then pull all the limbs.
Well, so if that's the case, whatever it takes. But
put him on the rack.
What the scouts were saying is that let's see if he measures at his pro day. When he has a pro day and he throws and they all come out to see him, if he refuses to be measured at the pro day, was there some funny business going on at the combine? And that fascinates me. It's easy to fake your weight, gain a couple, lose a couple, or do steroids and test faster or jump higher. Like, I get all that. I thought the height was the height, and there's nothing you can do about it. But maybe they figured something out to give these guys just a little extra something.
Okay, but is it funny business, or did he just work with a trainer? Like, I honestly, I don't find it.
Well, that's really – no, so that's a good point. Is that technically funny business? It is a little bit. Because what? Is he going to be in this – what did she call it again? This resistance contraption?
Stretching machine.
Is he in some stretching machine 24/7?
No, I like
that. No, he did it just for the combine. He's not going to do that in week 3 of the NFL season. He's going to play at 5'9 and change.
So that's the way to say it, is he'd play at that height.
Oh, Hold on.
Like he's a boxer fighting at 212 and a quarter. Like, no, he'll play at that height.
The weight fluctuates all the time. I get it. The height? How in the world? Where's Kyler? The game's in an hour. Oh, he's hanging upside down. He's trying to gain an extra quarter inch.
They got him the anti-gravity boots, and they stick him into the ceiling, and he hangs from
Jesus.
Them.
Steve in the car on Kraft, what do you think?
Hey, guys. I really believe that Kraft lawyered up because he's supposed to, and he's ready to punch back. And then my question to you guys is, I believe that he knew about it way before the news broke. He probably knew about it at the AFC Championship game. And that's
not what I've heard.
My theory on it. I
heard
it
was floored. Yeah, I heard he and they were floored, that he didn't know about it well in advance. But, again, that's just a rumor, that they were totally floored by it. The first thing, he's ready to fight back. Great. So let's just go attack a bunch of cops who are just doing their job down in Florida. Let's go attack investigators who are tackling a real problem. I'm not even talking about the human trafficking thing. I'm talking about a sleazy, gross massage parlor where billionaires are rolling in their Bentleys like it's a drive-thru for 13 minutes at a pop. So let's go attack and dump on cops and investigators and civil servant lawyers who are just doing their job and busting up what we would all want busted up in our neighborhood, which is some sleazy massage parlor. Yeah, that's great. Let's go ruin those people. Why? So you people can say you don't take on the Patriots? You people suck. Honestly. Junior in Brockton. Go ahead, Junior.
Yeah, I think you should definitely fight it. And, yeah, he should go against the cops because basically they set him up. They pulled him over. They got his name. They set him up. They knew Kraft was in there. They set up the cameras. Those cameras might not be legit, first of all. So now he's a victim.
He's a victim, Junior.
Oh, save Robert.
See, I still haven't heard anybody say, though, for all the calls that we get, and some like that one, that he was set up, I still haven't heard anybody say that he wasn't in there. Right? And that he wasn't in there of his own volition, and that he went in there and was somehow surprised by what happened. Right? Like, I haven't heard anybody suggest that he didn't go in there knowingly with an understanding. I haven't heard anybody say that. So how can anybody – now, you want to get into the legalities of it and whether or not the police did something that technically is, you know, improper, wasn't protocol, that opens up a doorway or some sort of avenue for Kraft's defense to get him off legally? Legally. Fine, then have that discussion. None of that is going to change my mind about what happened there.
I just don't know why he needs his dream team to do it. I don't know why he needs Jay-Z's lawyer on top of Kavanaugh's lawyer on top of George Bush's lawyer. Like, that just, again, that feels like you're overgunned unless there's something else, which I've heard nothing of, but that's the only way that would make sense to me. That still feels disproportionate. We continue with your thoughts. I have a Celtics thought. An injustice was done last night. I'll talk about it after Murray's update.
Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tatum gets the free throws. Dave Yeager doesn't seem to be calling it. So Sacramento with the ball down three. Fox across half court. Angles to his left. Kings down three. Fox for heel. Leans into the left side. Three, it's no good, but Gordon Hayward fouled him. Gordon Hayward got too close contesting the three, and now one of the best free throw shooters in the NBA will go to the line with a chance to tie it with 7.6 to go.
How'd you feel about that foul call on Gordon Hayward?
It's a good call. He was in the guy's face. I mean, a heel came down and landed on him, basically, or, you know,
bumped into him, and that's a foul.
Cheesy call.
Still a foul.
Cheesy. Oh, it's the way they're calling it now, so it's not like it was, quote-unquote, a bad call, because that's how the league, that's how they call that play now. That would have been called in most circumstances. It's just gotten ridiculous. That shooting space thing on the three-point shot has gotten freaking stupid.
I mean, at that point in the game, and I get it, their home court, but still, at that point in the game, you can't call
He barely touched him. He tried to hold up. He pretty much did hold up. He just grazed him, and the guy goes down. But now anytime those three-point shooters go down, and you know, you see it all the time, the three-point shooters will kick out their feet even and get that contact, and they call it every time. It's so cheesy. They have to address that.
Yeah, so but again, I would tell you, they call it, though. Like, this is one of those, to me, like, it was a foul.
I don't know how you defend it. I'm not sure it was.
The natural reaction is for what Hayward did is to put your hands up, but he probably didn't help his cause by doing that.
That he brought attention to it?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, he didn't bitch about the call.
No, he didn't. So I give him credit for that, because these guys bitch about every effing play.
So Scalabrine said this on the broadcast, and I think he's right. You have to change the way you defend it.
Absolutely. I was just going to say that. Like, how do you defend those shots now? Because you can't. You cannot get anywhere near the body because the guy's going to flop and the ref's going to give him the call.
You can't trail him directly. You got to be off to the side and just kind of go in front of him and try to, you know, alter the shot or alter the vision or get a hand. It's kind of do what Rozier did on the Barnes three at the end, which is Rozier went up, tried to get the hand in the face, but stayed far enough away from him where he didn't crash into him.
They got to be. They have to change that rule or change the way they call it because it's gotten stupid.
He's lucky it didn't go in.
It's gotten really dumb.
It would have been a four-point play, and they'd have been down one. Now, look, they ended up getting the two, but it would have changed what Sacramento did at the end of the game.
Did anyone happen to watch the end of the Sixers before you flipped over to the Celtics?
No.
I did. I've found myself watching the Sixers the last couple nights just happenstance. That team is insulting to me. I find that team gross. They are so – I wonder, in Philly, do people complain about the coach? Because they are so freaking poorly coached. It is disgusting. The Saturday night game they lost. Who they play Saturday night? I'm such a loser. I'm home watching it. I can't remember who they played. They did so many things wrong in the last 2 minutes of that game. I wrote them down and then I forgot about it. Who cares? You don't hear about Sixers basketball. But fouling when they shouldn't have fouled. Not fouling when they should have fouled. Missing free throws when they should have made.
Golden State they had Saturday.
Okay. Making free throws when they shouldn't have made the free throw. Like, all these situations, can't get the ball inbounds. Like, this litany of things. Like, I wrote them down. They're like five or six things wrong that they did at the end of that Golden State game on Saturday night. Last night, they're up 10 points with 6 minutes left in freaking Chicago.
Yeah, that was Chicago, too,
against the wretched Bulls. And they can't hang on because they have too many guys who can't shoot. Their free throw shooting sucks. And their decision-making at the end of these games is so freaking bad. It blows my mind how bad it is. And how, what's Brown's first name? I keep forgetting it.
Brett
Brown. Does he get grief in Philly? Do they pay attention closely enough in Philly for this guy to get grief?
I would think.
They are so wretched and so dumb at the end of these games. So Butler makes two free throws to give the Sixers a one-point lead with 4.8 seconds left. Okay, 5 seconds left. 5 seconds left. They're up a point. Zach LaVine had been going off for Chicago in the fourth quarter. He was their guy. So Butler makes a second of two. Bulls call timeout to get the ball in the front court. And Zach LaVine is inbounding. Like, he should be getting the ball. Why is he in? And then immediately it occurs to even me, dumb little Mikey Felger.
He's going
to
come off the sideline and get the ball.
They're drawing up a play for him. He's going to come off his screen. It's going to be a give and go because Levine's taking the shot. He's controlled the fourth quarter. He's the guy.
Of course. And it's the most basic thing ever, right? Watch the guy who's inbounding the ball.
As soon as he went to get the ball to inbounds, I'm like, oh, well, they drew up the play for LaVine. Watch it. So, you know, be sure you collapse on LaVine. Don't let him go. Jimmy Butler lets him go. He comes around the Lopez screen and the give and go, wide open layup and one to win the game. It's like, oh my God, the coaching is so bad on that team. You're not going to lose to that team. I don't care if you go back to this dysfunctional, miserable mess. You are not going to lose to that team. You're not going to lose to the Sixers.
Oh, and I agree with that. That's why you got to be aiming for that first round. That's who you want, because maybe you can get a little momentum going, because they will beat them no matter what.
They disgust me, that team.
If this thing gets at its bitchy worst, and maybe they're ready to punch each other behind the scenes or maybe on the court, they're not going to lose to the 76ers.
I'll tell you, though, it's still this little thing that the Celtics have got going here in the last 2 days. it still doesn't excuse them ending up on the road because that could cost them. So if they can get a home series out of it and get in front of Philly, it could make the series shorter. It could do any number of things that help get them to the conference final.
Okay, Joe in Bedford, Celtics, go ahead.
Hey, you had said something that we inherited a mini LeBron. At one time, the real LeBron got a coach fired over in Cleveland. Do you think Irving and Brad are like the power struggle with this team that it's affecting these young guys? I'll hear your thoughts.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. I do.
There's got to be some of it going on.
Yep. I don't know if it's exactly that, but it's something like that. It's Kyrie's presence and the Kyrie thing, the free agency thing, the control thing, his ego, Brad's inability to contain it, or exactly how that's working out internally has affected the team. I can't tell you exactly because I'm not inside, but something like that. Yep, absolutely.
I mean, I don't see how Kyrie doesn't affect the team.
And I wonder,
no matter who's coaching.
And I wonder if one of the things, this is just guessing from the outside. We're all trying to piece together what happened on that flight and what the result of it was. But coming off that plane, Gordon Hayward has been way more prominent. Way more prominent. That's Brad's guy. And Gordon Hayward's minutes went right up. Went right up. And his role went right up. And while Kyrie sits out game two, and when Brad's asked about it, he's like, I don't know, I haven't even talked to him. Like almost brushing that off. So I don't know. I'm just sort of wondering. If one of the things that they came up with was, this is not Kyrie's team, this is our team, and Gordon Hayward's a big part of it, and we're going to emphasize this and de-emphasize Kyrie a little bit.
System over player.
Yes.
Yeah. And look, you know what? Honestly, it's the right thing to do until the final 2 minutes of a game, when then it becomes like chaos, and more often than not, teams dig in on defense, and you have to have one-on-one plays to score. So last night was a great illustration of it. If you remember at the end of the game, and I'm not talking about Hayward, who went end-to-end and made the winning bucket. Prior to that, Tatum had a ridiculous one-on-one move, and I'm not sure anybody remembers it. He was ISO on someone, spun, you know, into the lane, took this crazy fall away, and made it. And made it. And so this is what happens, though, at the end of games. All of a sudden, guys play switches properly. They dig in defensively. And what it'll come down to is the final 5 seconds on a shot clock where someone's going to make a shot over someone else. That's just what's going to happen.
And that's when you want Kyrie. I got it.
Exactly. So you know what? If they've somehow, to me, that's how it should work. Run the system during the game, and then at the end, that's where your great player steps
in. Long commercial-free segment is next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub. The
Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
Just resetting some of the things we've hit on today. We've led off with a talk about the Stephen Wright steroid suspension, and not that we care about Stephen Wright. I certainly don't. But I do find it amazing how stringent and strict baseball's punishment is. First time offense, half the season, and the playoffs. That is like, wow. That'd be like if, you know, if the NFL had baseball's rules, Julian Edelman would not have played in the playoffs, never mind win the Super Bowl MVP. He would have been out for the postseason, and he would have missed 8 games, not 4. So, as we all look at that, we say, who's got it wrong, football or baseball? And we've all agreed, baseball. And it's surprising. It still feels like baseball's overreacting to the steroid era in the 90s that did really, you know, it really altered the game in a bad way, I think. And, you know, they were right to correct that. It got really goofy.
I mean, it was out of control.
It was out of control, so they were right to correct it. But I think they've gone too far in catering to the nanas of the baseball world, meaning the baseball writers. Because I think the old baseball writers are the only ones who still care about steroids.
Without question.
Kids don't. The general fan doesn't.
So, any rational person doesn't at this point.
So basically, we look at the NFL and say, given the way they punish and the way they test, they're tacitly allowing guys to do a little bit of steroids. And if you get caught, it's really not going to hurt you. Four games, and you get to play the rest of the year and the playoffs. And at the end of the day, it actually might help some of these guys. Edelman is not going to be hurt one bit. He's only going to have lost a couple hundred thousand that he lost in game checks. Otherwise, he comes back, he's healthier, he's fresher, he's still on the juice. It's not like, you know, the effects go away. You know, you benefit from that stuff for a year. So he's got all that wind in his sails from all the crap that he's done. So he gets all the benefits from doing steroids. He comes back after 4 weeks, fresher without having taken a hit, goes on, plays the whole year, wins a Super Bowl MVP. And it's like, at the end of the day, like, he was better off having done it, frankly, than not doing it. And everyone's okay with it. And I don't mean everyone here. I mean everyone in football. Because the world loves to call the Patriots out for anything. And I don't even hear any negative thought about Edelman and his steroid stuff at the Super Bowl, even after you won it. It was very little. So football fans certainly don't care, but I don't think baseball fans care anymore either, except for the old Nanas, except for the Shaughnessys and Haymans of the world. So why is baseball suspending these guys for half seasons and the playoffs?
Yeah, it's too much.
Too much.
Yeah, the penalties. Look at Billy Lanny, for crying out loud. Billy wants steroids back in the game. but again, I think, you know, I think you have some measure of that now in baseball. Like, you have the league saying, look, we're going to allow more testosterone, stuff like that. Just don't let it get out of control, because we turned a blind eye to it before, and it was stupid. It became the Wild West, for crying out loud. Guys hitting 70 home runs. I mean, really? That's a little too much.
Okay, so that's how we let off the show. We did some Pat's items. How come Gronkowski hasn't declared yet? He said he was going to take a couple weeks after the Super Bowl. It's now over a month later, and still no word on Rob Gronkowski. I still wonder if they're negotiating, and his return depends at least partly on what he's being paid. And maybe they're trying to figure out what he's going to get paid and if they can afford him, and et cetera, et cetera. But where's Gronkowski? Where's that announcement? Mass is getting a little annoyed with it. It's like this yearly sort of willy won't he that you don't really like.
I can't stand it. Again, it's like, so we got to wait now on Gronk every year. Every year. You didn't like him when Favre did it to the Packers.
Oh, my God, it was brutal. Just brutal.
So, and you know, to me, maybe there was a negotiation going on there, too. And ultimately, the Packers let Favre get away with it until a certain point, and they had a replacement. So I'm not telling you I want them to show Gronk the door. I'm just saying, if you're going to leverage a team like that, do it behind closed doors. Like, I don't need to know that you're threatening retirement and playing this stupid game. Either go or stay, but pick one.
Okay, Robert Kraft's court case had some developments today that sort of went in a circle. It was originally reported this morning, according to court documents. I mean, they weren't bad reports. But in papers filed in Palm Beach County Court on Thursday, Kraft's arraignment date was moved to March 28th. It was March 27th. It was moved to March 28th. And the order also included the directive, in all capital letters, Murray, the defendant must be present at this hearing.
It's like they're yelling. You have to be here.
And that felt like a development we had heard. And in most cases, the defendant does not have to be there for misdemeanor cases. An attorney can represent him. And when that was reported today, it's like, oh, well, maybe the prosecutors are, you know, taking a hard line too. No, as it turns out, Robert Kraft's lawyer then came out and released a statement and said he is not going. He does not have to go. He says this is a routine procedural hearing that the court sets based on its schedule. The notice of appearance by the defendant is boilerplate. But in fact, the lawyer appears for the defendant in a misdemeanor case. The defendant does not appear. So that was Jack Goldberger. We also learned today that Kraft's legal team is even bigger than we thought. Not only does he have Jack Goldberger, who represents and has represented some of the highest profile sex crime criminals in the country. This Jeffrey Epstein, it doesn't get any bigger or any worse than that. That was Kraft's. We knew that Jack Goldberger was on the case for weeks, and it was announced this week that he also had a lawyer by the name of William Burke, who was one of George Bush's lawyers during his presidency, who helped work with Brett Kavanaugh on his Supreme Court hearings. So that's one of the guys that Kraft has on his team, and a lawyer by the name of Alex Spiro, who's currently a guest lecturer at Harvard Law School. He's a Tufts graduate, went to Wellesley High, where I live, so he's a local guy, but he is known for having represented people like Jay-Z, Mick Jagger, Aaron Hernandez, and others. So this is one hell of a high-profile dream team that Kraft has for a flipping misdemeanor, for a hojo, which to me is, it says something. I don't know exactly what, but it says something, and I guess we'll find out. To me, I hate the way it looks, Unless he got bigger charges coming and bigger things to defend himself against, then I understand you lawyer up with these big federal D.C. New York lawyers. If that's where the case is headed, then that's how you defend yourself. At this county courthouse down in Palm Beach, where they're going to dismiss charges anyway if you plead no contest, that just doesn't seem to make any sense to me. And it's just a horrible look. A billionaire is going to just throw his legal weight around because he just can't face a little embarrassment. Or something like so. If it's just a misdemeanor, it's a bad look. And if it gets him off of the charges on a technicality, great. I don't know what that's for the league. I don't think it means anything for the league, or it doesn't mean much. And so that's the Robert Kraft reset.
So I want to get this straight now. He's got two attorneys. He's got three attorneys total, maybe more. I mean, I'm sure there are more. So lesser ones that we don't know about. And one of them defended Jeffrey Epstein, and one of them defended Aaron Hernandez.
Right.
That's a good group to be associated with.
But I'm just like, if you're facing those kind of charges, then you get those kind of lawyers.
Right.
This, that doesn't quite rise to that level. So what? Anyway, there's the Kraft thing. Your calls on all of it. Bruins, Celtics, of course, on the board as well. To your calls immediately after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.